Father, we ask you to receive wisdom and insight into your word. Thank you for clarity of thought. Thank you for precision of teaching. And thank you for a common understanding as we behold Jesus Christ as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Luke's Gospel 24, verse 44. And he said unto them, we're looking at the Bible doctrine on holiness. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. 45. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. He said unto them, right, and he said unto them, then said unto them, sorry, and thus is written, and thus is told, Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. Now, notice what it says, fulfilled concerning me. That is, the focus is on me. We have, you know, the different studies in the Bible, well, in Christianity, we have some called eschatology, study of the last days events, theology, study of God, pneumatology, study of the Spirit or Holy Spirit, case like that. And then we also have what they call Christology, which is the study of Christ. And that's the basic interpretation of Scripture, because he says here, concerning me. Let's ask a question. Why was the Bible written? Why? Why was the Bible written? Was the Bible written because people were not making enough money? Huh? Was the Bible written so that people can know how to run their businesses? Was the Bible written so that people can know how to conceive children? I'm just asking a question. I think because that was already happening, or that happens in places where people have no Bibles. Am I right? So why was the Bible wasn't written so you can know how to cook? So one programmer say, Esther, Feast of Esther. Isn't that interesting? You come to church and say, what happened to you in church today? I became Esther. And that was a lovely one, you know. Transformation, metamorpho. You moved from Christ to Esther. That's lovely. Oh, you didn't get that, did you? Yeah. Pray the fallen prayers for you one more time. So, why was the Bible written? You know, it's not written, you're a doctor, it's not written for you to know how to do surgery. Why are you looking at me like, don't you do surgery? You cut people. The Bible said, thou shalt not cut. You know, wasn't written to. It's already so that you know how to repair your car. Yeah, no. Am I making sense here? What's the Bible? I don't think the Bible is written so that I know how to ask a lady out. In fact, if I follow the Bible, she will say no. Because your language is so bad, she'll say, what's the said, thou said? What's that? She doesn't know how to speak good English. The Lord said, I shall marry at you. And she feels, well, you're not good in English. There are a few folks who do that. The guy wanted to toast the lady, he is bound and said, join this chariot. Yeah. He tried to be an animal or something. So why was the Bible written? John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Logos. What preceded the writing is the Logos. Logos means logic. Just what we say, a thought pattern, a subject matter, a logic, something that is a subject. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, when you have the word beginning, is from the word arche. Two times it's used, so that means the word beginning is important. The same was in the beginning with God. Right? John 1:1, John 1:2. Arche is used for start. But also it has the a shade of what is preeminent. That is what should prevail, like a ruler or one that takes preeminence. So, Notice he didn't say in the beginning was the words. You know, that would have been meant. He said the word logos, which precedes speaking. So he's saying there's a prevailing thought, a prevailing mindset in the beginning. A prevailing mindset. Of course, John 1:2 refers to Genesis. John 1:1 is not Genesis. So the prevailing mindset is the word. The prevailing mindset. And then he says, the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. He puts a pronoun. A pronoun means a person. So the word, the mindset, the prevailing thought is a person. Is he following this? Are you following this? So, a prevailing thought. So, if I have the Bible, that is Genesis down to, let's start from Malachi first, Genesis down to Malachi. I have a prevailing thought, the beginning, the prevailing thought. That which prevails in the beginning is a person. So, let's find out what really that is. Let's ask a prophet. Psalm 8 verse 4. Let's ask a prophet. A prophet is going to want to tell us, you know, what exactly is the prevailing thought? Say the word. Psalm 8 verse 4. Prophet? Prophet David? What is man, verse 4, that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man, that thou visit him? Interrogative. What is man that you are mindful of him? Why did he say this? Why was this question? Because it's an interrogative. In verse 3, he says, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained. He said, when I look at those things, then I'll say, what is man that I am mindful of? So the prophet knew that God's thought was not about things. He knew that. He knew that he makes it. God's word is not for science. It's not to know about things. Say, what is man that you are mindful of him? The word I see or I consider is the word Ra, R-A-A-H, in the Hebrew, used 1,306 times. It means to evaluate, to see something the way it is. I said, what is man? I see this, I see the stars. Now David had knowledge of the stars, and he's wondering, so what was it then? Same word, right? Using Genesis 1:4. And God said, God saw it was good. Not that God is seeing it for the first time, but God examined it. This is good. So I examine the stars. And some of us are, we even have a song that's like that. Oh Lord my God, when I know some wonder, consider all the words thy hands have made. Then I see the stars, even though you are in a room. I hear the rolling thunder. Are you sure you heard anything? You know, we say, but the man who said this, said, then what is man? That you are mindful of him. The word mindful is zakar in the Greek. So Hebrew, I like Greek. Z-A-K-R. It means something you keep in mind. It's oftentimes used for meditation. 232 times. Something that you meditate upon. Hallelujah. Something that it keeps your mind on. Now, remember, we said the prevailing mindset is the word. Because the word logos is mindset. So he says, what is man that you are mindful of him? He's interrogating what is the word of God. That's what he's saying. What is the word of God? What is the word of God in the scriptures? What is man that you are mindful of him? Nor the son of man that you visit him. Is an interrogative. Now Hebrews chapter 2 tells us the answer to that. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 6. Is it out there? Hebrews 2:6. But in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that you visit him? What is man? The word testify is the word diamaturiomai. You know, maturiomai means to speak by testifying. So definitely, to testify in a place here, that means the writer of Hebrews is saying that Psalm 8 verse 4 is a prophecy. Because he uses the word to testify in a certain place, diamaturiomai, D-I-A, then you have maturiomai, which is to speak, alright? Now, so the word dia, don't forget, dia means a cross, okay, a cross. So he's speaking the cross and he says, in 15 times, that word. What is man that you are mindful of him? Now, one more time, this is important. That word, dia maturiomai, is used for a solemn testimony. Something you speak in a solemn way. That is, follow this now. David is speaking, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. And he's saying that. He got to verse 8 and he goes solemn. What is man? In other words, he's musing in this prophecy. Remember we said that the prophets were interrogated. He's musing. A solemn testify. It's not, David is not screaming over this. It's a solemn one, diamaturiomai. You see Paul using Acts 20. Put your hands in there, we'll come back there. Acts 20:21. To testify of the grace, the gospel of the grace of God. Acts 20:23. So Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and the Greek. Acts 20:21. Acts 20:23, witnesses in every city. Acts 20:24, testifying of the gospel of the grace of God. So he's talking about speaking solemnly. A full testimony. When you're speaking in a solemn way and giving a full testimony. That you are mindful of. Remember, Zakah in the Hebrew was translated as mindful, mimnesko in the Greek. M-I-M-N-E-S-K-O. You know mimnesko, many of you know it. M-I-M-N-E-S-K-O. Mimnesko means to remind. That you are reminding yourself of it. To remind. So, if something is a reminder in the whole Bible, that's the word. It's a reminder. Something that you keep record of. What is man that you're keeping record of him? Look at Hebrews 8:12. His sins, your sins and iniquities, I will remember no more. That's the word mimnesko. Also Hebrews 10:17. Sins and iniquities I remember no more. To remind. Alright. A language expert says that word mimnesko is a prolonged form of M-N-A-O-M-A-I. Namomai. Now that's something to think, put something in your mind. So mimnesko is a prolonged form. Something you think about for a long time. So David got to a point and said, you said this thing too much. What is man that you are mindful of it? Remember we said, why was the Bible written? You know, it is the what is Nigeria that you're mindful of it. So what is man that you're mindful of it? That you have a prolonged, so mimnesko is taken from is a prolonged form of to remind yourself. So what does it mean? It means the prophets is saying that God's always talking about man. Not man. He's always talking about man. God is always talking about man. Because when you have Zakah is something, you know, in the Hebrew, so when you meditate, it's oftentimes used in what you say. So he's saying God's always talking about man. What is man? You're mindful of him. Not a son of man that you visit him. Now, that word is, I'll spell it for you. Hipis. E-P-I-S-K-E-P-T-O-M-A-I. I hope I got this right. E-P-I-S-K-E-P-T-O-M-A-I. 11 times it's used. It's used for a concerned visit. Oftentimes used for visiting someone in the clinic or someone who needs help. What is man that you are thinking always about him, nor the son of man that you visit him? Someone that needs help. Watch this. You'll see it in Luke's Gospel 1, 7 to 6, I believe. Luke's Gospel 1, 7 to 6. 78, actually. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us. You see it in Matthew 25, 26, used to visit the sick and the poor, someone who needs help. James used it in James 1, 27, to visit the poor, to seek the sick, the fatherless, the widows. So, what is man that you visit him concerned visitation? You know, there are folks that come around you that just come to eat. Some come because they want to come around and help you. So that's the kind of word he's to visit him. Hallelujah. You now see people use this scripture for divine visitation. May God visit you this day. God will visit you this week. Really? Verse 7 says, that's Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2 verse 7. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crowned him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hand. That put all things in subjection under his feet. For him that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing, so there's nothing that is not put under him. But now, oh, this is important. Now, let's read that B part now. But now, we see not yet all things put under him. Now, we don't see, horaho in the Greek, H-O-R-A-O. It means we are observing by experience. That is by orao is for an experiential scene. There are some scenes we're going to see that has to do with seeing inside. So orao is, I can look around and I just can't see what you're talking about. I can't see it. So you're talking to someone and say, can you see? Say what? Can't you see what I'm talking about? What? I can see it. Orao, I can. Someone comes to you and say, can't you see I'm wealthy? Very rich? You say, I understand what you're trying to say, but I can't see anything. The guy comes in and says, can you give me airtime? You say, well, I can't see that. Orao, by experience. Say, we do not see it. We can't see it. We look around, we can see what that prophecy is saying. All things under his feet. Where? Oh, we can't see it. The next verse says, but we see. So, first one, we can see. Second one, we can see. Alright, the second word is see. You know, that looks contradictory. We can see and can see. Second one is blepo. Blepo means intuitive seeing. Blepo is not experiential seeing. Blepo is not seeing. Just, you know, the way. Blepo is intuition. It's used for non-physical things. Whereas oraho is used for physical things. That's why oraho is oftentimes what's used for visions. Because you can't say, I sense in a vision. You don't sense, you see. Remember one brother, in one Holy Ghost meeting we had years back, said, I can see. He said, what? Just can see God. Say, what do you mean? I see light. If you close your eyes any time of the day, you will see light. Right? That's a orakos, not oraho. So blepo means to see inside. That's why, look at Matthew 5:28. He that looks at a woman lustfully, that Jesus is talking about in the heart, looks. I don't think it meant And you know, you can't see loss in anybody's eyes. You know, some guys do Rahul now, didn't they? I think this one is blepo. So this is blepo, means to something on your heart. So you're seeing from a non-physical dimension, blepo. Matthew 6:4, your father who sees you in secret will reward you. Now, where is the secret? In your room or in your heart? See that again. So we see, so blepo is used for non-physical sights. Are you there? Just like looking at a woman lustfully is a vision of the woman on your heart. Now I can't do a teaching series on that. That's not in the Bible. So how does it happen? You know, some guys can explain sin to you, you start to sin. They just tell you how to lie. A teaching series. So this is how to lose your salvation. I just packed my Bible and left. How can I teach you how to lose something? How to lose your life? How you sat down there, How the devil operates? How did you know? You fellowship with him? Some guys have names, addresses, times the devil walks, clothes, colors, favorite clubs. I said nothing. So notice this. But we see, notice that we see Jesus. That means our seeing Jesus is non-material. Praise God. It's non-material. We see Jesus. Hallelujah. So God's thoughts are on man. Do you get it? God's thoughts are, so when he visited man in Christ. Jesus is not the sick one, but is the one that visited as man. Get it? What I just used for you now. So he visited man. So his words are about man. Watch this now. So God's thoughts are about man. They're on man. Now look at this terminology. Before the world began. We're going to look at the word foundation of the world. Some guys do not know the difference when they say before or from. They put it together. They are two different things. Let's examine that. Say, don't worry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because you are going to die. God has said that before the foundation of the world. How in the world do we preach those kind of things? The car you are going to drive before the foundation of the world. Do you want to read the kind of cars in the Bible? Know there are cars in the Bible? Elijah with all his shakara went through one before he got to the whirlwind. He couldn't take it through. Chariots. He dropped chariots away for whirlwind. That guy is just a weird personality. He left chariot for whirlwind. Strange guy. Alright, look at the word before the foundation of the world. That's Ephesians 1:4. God's thoughts, remember? God's thoughts must precede the writing. Right? God's thoughts must precede the writing. Ephesians 1:4. He has chosen us in him when? Come on, when? Before the foundation of the world. Now, that word before is pro-kataboli cosmos. Three words. Pro-kataboli cosmos. P-R-O-K-A-T-A-B-O-L-E cosmos. Pro-kataboli cosmos. Pro is before it happened. Before the foundation of the world. He has chosen us in him to be holy and blameless before him in love. Before the world began. The world means before the activities started. This is God's choice. Before the foundation of the world. Look at Matthew 13:35. This one says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I'll open my mouth in parables. I will utter things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. You know, that's not before. The word from here in the Greek means since. Since. Now, this could mean the day the world began. It could mean 1,000 years after. But it means something that has always been said. Since. Not before. Okay? Is that okay? Is that clear? There have been hidden since the foundation of the world, not before. Luke 11:50. So, Matthew 13 refers to the words of the prophet. Ephesians 1:4 says, what precedes the words of the prophet? Is that clear? In him. Before the foundation of the world. Spoken. Since the foundation of the world. Two different things. Luke 11:50. That the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world, not before, from, that is all the prophets that have been killed. You get it? So, from means to take account of what has been happening for many years. Since is to take account of what was prepared before things started happening. You get it? Do you get it? Is it clear? Before and since. John 17. Jesus. John 17. John 17, 24. Watch this one now. I will give, Father, I will that they also, from whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me when? Before. Now what's Ephesians 1:4? Before. We're chosen in him when? Before. Is that clear? So there's before, there's since. Okay, look at Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4:3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. So before is in God, from is amongst men. The activities. Alright, let's go. As I have sworn in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest, although the works were finished from. Alright? From the foundation of the world. Which is spoken in the Son of Man 7 days, in the wise, God did rest the 7 days from his works. That's Genesis 2, 2, 3. From the foundation of the world. Hebrews 9, 6, 26. Hebrews 9, 26. For then must he often, that's Jesus, have suffered since the foundation of the world. Is that before or from? From, okay. But now once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Since the foundation of the world. Why did he say that? He says, not yet that he should offer himself often. Not that Jesus has been suffered for, no, that's not what he's saying. Look at the argument. That he is not being offered often as the high priest enters into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then, that if that was so, then he often must have suffered since the world began. But not so. But now, once in the end of the world, that is the meeting of the ages, end will mean the completion, alright, of time. He, fulfillment of time, as he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So Hebrews 9:26. Then, okay, that's it. So the word from the foundation of the world, or before, have you gotten the difference? One is when time began. One was before time began. Okay, in or before is in Christ or in God, right, before. Let's see another one. 1 Peter 1:20. Now the word, I said prokatabolikosmos, right? That's before. And the word kataboli is for conception of children. to conceive, not to give birth. Alright? You see in Hebrews 11:11? To conceive, not to give birth. So when you find in, before the foundation of the world, that means it was conceived. Alright? Before. Prokataboti. Before. The foundation of the world. Now watch this. 1 Peter 1, verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in this last times for you. Foreordained before the foundation of the world. Revelation 13, 8. Revelation 13, 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names were written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Very bad translation. Proper translation, the Greek. Alright? Whose names were written in the book of life from the foundation of the world of the Lamb that was slain. Of a Lamb that was slain. Of a Lamb that was slain. But the Lamb couldn't have been slain before the foundation of the world. The Lamb was slain 2,000 years ago. Revelation 17:8. Whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. See that? It's corrected. When they behold the beast and was and is not. And yes. So people from Genesis had their names in the book of life. Is that okay? Is that okay? So, man, Hebrews 2, go back to Hebrews 2. How did I come to this anyway? Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2. What is man? You're mindful of the Son of Man. So what is man? Man is found in Christ. Verse 9. Man found in Christ. Hebrews 2, 9. So God's word, point this out. God's word is in a man. Or let's put it this way. The word of God is a man. Correct? Is that correct? Is that correct? The word of God is a man. The word of God is a man. So we can find God's thought situated in a man and is for man. God's word is in a man. God's word is a man. So scriptures were written for who? For man. And scriptures were written about man. Now, what exactly about man? About business ideas? About what? About a man in Christ. 2 Timothy 3:15. From a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is where? In Christ. And I'm going to say which is in Christ, which is in man. Or man, Christ, right? Same thing. So the word of God is about who? Huh? It's about who? Man in Christ. The word of God is about man. So David's question, what is man? You're mindful of the Son of Man. He's talking about man. So go back to Hebrews 2. For verse 10, let's read verse 10 and 11 together. Let's go. For, everybody, let's go. For it became him. One more time, let's go, mother. For it became him. Whom are all things? About whom are all things? In bringing what? Many sons into glory. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. 11. For both he that sanctify and they are sanctified, they are all of one. For which cause is not ashamed. If you have this kind of scripture in your mind, and you're looking for holiness, they should be looking for you. The world should be looking for you and crown you with the most stupid man in the world. This scripture is clear. Both he that sanctifies and those who are sanctified, they are all of one. Hallelujah. Both he that sanctified and those who are sanctified, we'll come to that scripture in a moment, they are all of one. For this cause, he's not ashamed to call them brethren. So 1 Corinthians 1:30, he says, of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Is made unto us what? Look at just one word there. Sanctification. Is made unto us sanctification. Now, pay attention to this one. The word made there, alright, is ginomai, to exist as. So, Jesus was made to exist as what? Our sanctification. See what I mean? Say, Jesus is my sanctification. Oh, come on, say one more time. Say, Jesus is my sanctification. Now, what do you mean he's made unto us? We need to find out what is the making. Christ crucified. So, the death of Jesus is burial and resurrection, 1 Corinthians 1:18 and 24, becomes our sanctification. That is, don't forget the word sanctification again. If Christ can die for you, that means God treats you specially. That's what it means. If he died for you, because remember, sanctify means to treat what? Different. So, if he died for me, his death already shows me that I am holy. Because sanctification is how God treats something or people. Does that make sense to you? Go to Hebrews 12:14 one more time. We have three words we'll be looking at. Three words. Hebrews 12:14. That is the gate pass of heaven for some denominations. When I was a younger Christian, I read like this. Without holiness, no man can enter heaven. I thought that was what I saw. Now look at the word holiness. Now what's the Greek word there? Huh? You should know it like memory verse. Agias, which is what? The noun of, what? What is Agias most? The noun of, I will leave you. God will help you. 1 Peter 1:15. Holy. Holy is what? Hagios, sacred. Then we looked at 2 Corinthians 7:1. Hagiosune, which is to display it. So, the noun, right? We have holy, holiness, and then another word, holiness. So, quickly, holy is used for things. So, the word holy should not scare anybody. The word holy does not mean sinless. Because it is used for things, inanimate objects. Matthew 7:16, Jesus says, do not cast holy things to dogs. And he was referring to things, holy, in the Old Testament. Holy was used for days, not a sinless day. Holy was used for days. Holy was used for vessels in the temple. It simply means what you use differently. What you treat differently. Some of you have phones you don't bring out. You treat them differently. at all our cars. Some of you have clothes, you don't even wear to church. But when they say the king wants to see you or the governor, if you've been to the Button House before, and you've ever used the metal big box that you use two padlocks for, you know that? Then you call it, there's a way I can't say something in English. Thank you very much. Sally Akoti. Sally Akoti, you know. The word is Sally in the Greek means under. Akoti means box. In fact, there, you know, there's some, you know, if you're in Bonnie House, you keep some provision under. If you're a smart person, you put clothes, then you put provision under. Then you put cabin biscuits on top. Cabin biscuit on top. Alright? Then you just have some small sugar, you know, so they won't know that you're deceiving also. So because I did that as a junior boy, when I became a senior, I knew what it was. Bros opened the thing well. Because when we were juniors, we started hiding things in the rock. We'll carry stuff, provision, put them in the rock, because we had rocks in my school. So 3 days to the end of the term, we'll go and take them in the rock. Stupid us. In a whole term, we would not take it. Then just one day, we will not eat everything for a whole time. He said, you won't finish everything. So you treated those provisions specially. There are things you treat specially. Some people treat women specially before they get married. Say, when are you coming? Say, I'm coming. Can I visit you on Tuesday? Tuesday? I'll make it Wednesday. I won't be chanced. It's because the house would not be chanced. It's going to be dirty. So you make the whole place look. You clean, say, what's happening today? Nothing. It's just a normal day. And lady comes. This place is so nice here. That's how I am generally. You go and pay for DSTV. You put it on already. You know. It's lovely. Then when you marry, come back from work. Some of you. Come on. You just remove. How was it? Who put your children? What? I'm tired. I thought you were so decent before. I made you holy. You understand what holiness is? It's to just treat differently. That's what it is. So, days, vessels, even a land. Say, take off your shoes. We're not told he did, but he said so. The land you stand upon is a holy ground. What a way an angel harassed Moses before he knew God. Now afterwards, he began to command angels to work for him. Roles changed. So, that means by the death of Jesus, we are sacred. The death of Jesus makes you sacred. God treats you differently. It treats you in a special way. So Hebrews 12:14. Let's look at Hebrews 12:14. We were there last week. Hallelujah. See, the death of Jesus treats me specially. Hebrews 12:14. I think we were there last week. Let's take it one more time. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace, verse 14, with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, when you read a book, read the book. Nobody wants to be quoted out of context. How many of you read your school books in context or out of context? You just took the book. See, I was led to just read this phrase. So they ask you, to draw, or to do maybe a biological drawing, and say, draw maybe a fish or something. And then you go. Maybe just draw a fin. That's all I saw. This is the rhema that I have. You know, I have people call you to the faculty and ask, how did you get to this school? Because there's some things you don't read your school books out of context. You are not led to read chapter 4 and leave the rest. Then the results come out. You discover that they didn't even include your marks on the board. What happened? You say, sit down. You couldn't answer number one, number two, number three. He said, yeah, because I was not led to read those things. No, you got to read everything. So, if you read holiness in Hebrews 12:14, simple common sense tells you to find out holiness in the whole book. Hebrews 2:11 was said before 12:14. Why did he say 2:11 before 12:14? He expects you to have read 2:11. So when you are reading 12:14, you know the holiness he's talking about. Nobody expects you to start reading his book from Amen. That's not something you're Hebrews 12:14. Without holiness, Baba, make me holy. It's what we simple numeric understanding says 12 is after 2. So read 2. 2 says, he that sanctifies and those who are sanctified. So the first thing is that I am sanctified. Common sense reading, right? The first thing is I am sanctified. Look at Hebrews 10. So we read Hebrews 12:14. Hebrews 10:10. Again, 10 is before 12, I believe. In English. Sorry, in arithmetic. Hebrews 10:10-14. Can we read it together? Hebrews 10:10-14. Everybody, come on. By the which will we are. You see, we will be. What is our? Sometimes it's good to teach English in church. Because some guys, when they get to the Bible, they forget English language. We are. A-R-U-E. A-R-U-E. We are sanctified. Now, sanctified has E-D. Which is what? Past tense. So when you have R and E-D, it is past tense continuous participle. Amen? Amen. Above Jesus, down now, Satan. So that means what you were is what you are and what you will be. That's clear enough. We are what? By what? I like the word, you know, because say we are sanctified by the offering of our bodies. Brethren, are you offering your body? It says the offering of the body of Jesus. How many times? Once. What is once? The Greek word is once. Verse 12. And this man, let's take it together, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. 13. For man's word expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. 14. For by one offering he has perfected. For emphasis, he used the word sanctified again. So we are what? We are set apart already. We are treated differently. So if you read sanctified, in 2:11, sanctified, 10:12-14. When you get to 12:14, don't drink origin. Not 0-1. The one that is thick. And then lose your mind. That means you are sanctified. Okay? So, follow peace. Sanctified means to be treated differently. To be set apart. Okay? So, follow peace with who? All men. And what? Without which? Now, what is follow? Is the word dioko. We saw it last week. It means to practice. To practice. Practice peace with who? Okay, so when you practice peace with all men, what is that? Simple? Right? So, no man shall see the Lord. Is it you or the people you are practicing peace with? Hey, not heaven. Except you are the heaven. Heaven at last. Oh, heaven at last. No, heaven is at first. When you get born again, heaven is first. Amen. Watch this. See the Lord. Where would they see the Lord? They'll see the Lord in your practice of
holiness.
In your practice of holiness, because you already sanctified. That's why the next verse, watch this. The next verse says, Hebrews 12:14, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of what? Bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be what? Defiled. So it's your conduct that he's talking about. Let there be no bitterness, because if you don't walk in peace, you walk in bitterness towards others. So he's referring to your conduct amongst people. So we have holiness. Holiness, we are holy, made holy. Then we have holiness in our conduct. You know, we're born of the Spirit. And we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. So we are made holy. Hebrews 2:11. Hebrews 10:14. Hebrews 10:10-14. So Hebrews 12:14 is to walk in holiness. Because it's when I walk in love that men will see the love of God. It's when I walk in love that men will see the love of God. If I don't walk in love, men will see the love of God. So when I walk in holiness, men will see the Lord. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? So, it's not a gate pass to heaven. Are you holy? Yes, sir. If they ask you, after they have preached their fairy sermons, are you holy? They say, yes! Glory to God. Who is that? I am. My mother hates that. I knocked on my door. Who is that? I say, I am. The only God that bears that, I'm in Him. So, holiness. Alright, look at another word. Hagiazo. Hagiazo is to make holy. And hagiazo is used for God and used for us. To make holy. Hagiazo is the verb of the noun. Look at Matthew 6:9. Hallowed be your name. That means we treat his name different from others. Who does that? We do that. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed is agiazo. We allow it. We treat it differently. The same way we treat church services. You know, you don't call, though some folks are free, but you don't get to church service and say, hello! Because you treat the church service how? Holy. Amen. I know some folks, they come late to church. Well, our service is not like that, but you come late to church, so, and their shoes begin to go, ka, everybody looks back and say, I'm the one, I just came in, you know. Such people are irreverent. Christ makes us holy, agiazo, by his identification with us. He treats us specially. Agiazo is used 28 times. It's to treat specially, to treat differently. We also can treat things differently. We can sanctify. Quickly look at this. 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter 3:15. Let's read that together. 1 Peter 3:15. Are you there? I'll wait for you. Let's read it together. Let's go. But now that word sanctify is make holy, hagiazo. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So that means you can make the Lord. Now, that's talking about meditation, right? Right? Meditation. Your thoughts can sanctify the Lord. Now, is God already holy? Huh? So what's he talking about? In our thoughts. In our thoughts. We treat God differently. In our thoughts. Matthew 23:17. So agiazo is to make holy or treat differently. Matthew 23:17. The word of God must be treated differently. Now somebody is preaching and teaching God's word. He said, "Hey, see Bible." What's that? Shame. That's not treating God's word in a holy way. It's preaching years back, 96. The guy just ran out. Yeah. See what? He's the pastor of the church. See what? Ah, see Kenyo. The week after, he was distributing anointing oil. I said, see Kenyo. See your life. He wasn't listening. Yeah! See, I hear you. Some that you're not here. Matthew 23, are you there? Verse 16. Woe unto you, you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he's a debtor. You fools and blind. Whether is greater? Pay attention to this one. The gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? Hallelujah. The gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold. And whosoever shall swear by the altar, he's nothing. But whosoever swears by the gift that is upon it, he's guilty. Oh, fools and blind. For whether is greater? The gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift. So, he says, when you bring gold, money, into the temple, the Old Testament. So that money becomes sacred. Why is it sacred? Because you brought it into the temple. So that money is treated differently. Are you following this? So, the gold is holy because it's where? In the temple. You are holy because you are in Christ. So then what is greater? Is it the gold or the temple? Of course it has to be the temple. The sanctifier is greater than the sanctified. But you know, that's the temple. When it comes to the epistles, he says they are one. Hallelujah. They are one. He that sanctifies and those who are sanctified, they are one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When we worship God, for example, what are we doing? When you sing, you know, in the world, you sing, say, hey, even the dance, all about it, and you say all sorts of stuff. You jump in, Gloria Golo, you know, all this kind of thing. But when you want to sing to God, you are low him. You can't give to him what you give to everybody. That's not holy. Are you following what I'm saying? That's not holy. You can't give to what you give to everybody. The world claps. Hey, give a round of applause. You hear that about it. Give the Lord a hand. And you used to. Just use one. Give the Lord a big hand. Why are you up? Is he a star? Did he just score a goal? That's why we lift holy hands. The worship of God is different. When my dad was a king, I know how they used to psych him. When he's coming like this, and he have his umbrella. He takes his, staff. And one guy is behind him, who's like his bodyguard. Look at that guy, real thing, this one will run away, he'll just... Hey, that's the world. There's a different way we praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We lift our hands. We bow on our faces. We sing to Him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Most of what we call praise worship today is you entertaining yourself. You are entertaining yourself.
I listened to one song last night. You know? And we don't take over, we don't take over. I said, we are take over. And I said, how in the world does this glorify God? Hallelujah. And he was talking about, look at the car I drive. We don't take over. Look at the car. We don't take over. That's why most of those songs can be sung very explicitly in a mosque. I don't get a lot. God the wind. I don't give me a car. God the wind. Which God? Mention his name. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father of spirits. The Father of lights. Hallelujah. In whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You know, when you sing that, some of your fans will drop out. What's that now? Don't get religious on us now. God win, God win. God win. But no. That's why if it's a Christian song, it will sing about the elements of redemption. Don't just say, he died. Sorry, he's great. Who is he? Who is he? Do you know that if you get to some religious programs, they sing God is oh yigi yigi oh, Muslim programs. Oh yigi 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 kabi oh see, hallelujah. But what we say, he loved us. Hallelujah. You sent your son to die. That is holy for him. Hallelujah. That's not just having a nice time. Let me dance here for you. Let me dance here for you. Hallelujah. Some guys don't know the difference. They think it's all singing. No. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Treat him differently. After you have finished doing all your nightclub dancing, then when you want to talk to the Lord and worship him differently. Hallelujah. Hallowed be your name. Glory to God. They so respected his name. Some people now go to the day, give me a big J, J, justify me, E, S, S, sanctify me, you wear some banner over me, Jesus, deliver me, that's the way, you are not okay. Music is good, you want to entertain, of course, make sure that the lyrics are not unhealthy, alright? So how do I know? Well, if you don't know, you have a problem. Unhealthy. Praise God. You get it. It's not every song that you must sing Jesus in there. That would be wrong. Praise God. When you walk in the office, you write Jesus in your report. Huh? So it's not every song. There are songs you sing for entertainment. I have those that I like to entertain and they are not, it's not spirit-filled singing. Hallelujah. You get that point. You choose that. Praise the Lord. Amen. But when you want to worship God, that's not entertainment. That's holy. That's holy. Amen. Holy worship. Holy praise. That which is for him alone. Because there is none holy as the Lord. Hallelujah. There is none holy as the Lord. He has his place in our lives that nobody can take. Glory to God. So we worship him that way. We don't use Oba of Lagos's Oriki to praise our own God. So we look at him, we treat him differently. Our actions will show that what we're talking about is sacred to us. Hallelujah. You come to church in the house of God, say, let us worship the Lord. You put your hands in your pocket. Put your hands in your pocket. Say, I lift my hands. I lift my hands. I worship. You are singing it. I lift my hands. I lift my hands. I lift my hands. You got your phone. Okay, a great worship service is going on here now. Church things. You are not holy. You worship. Praise God. You bow. Amen. Because he's worthy of that. He is God. Glory to God. Same way when you want to give. You don't just say, you also say, this one, what's your one? 59. The dirtiest note. I watch my treasures grow. It's your treasure. You are lying. As I let it go, don't let it go. You are chasing it away. You want to clear your pocket of dirty notes. Hallelujah. That's why in 1 Corinthians 7. So we can make things holy. Treat them differently. Holy means to treat differently. So God treats us specially in Christ. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The death of Jesus makes me special. Glory to Jesus. So I respond that same way. When I worship Him. When I honor Him. Look at 1 Corinthians 7. He says, if a man or a woman marries a Christian, someone who is born again now, for the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife. Does he mean saved? No. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Where your children are unclean, they are now holy. Does it mean they are born again? No. It means they are now treated how? Special. Who makes them sanctified? You. Who treats them specially? You. That's why he said don't leave. Don't depart. Don't treat the marriage like the marriage of an unsaved man. That's what he's saying. Treat the marriage differently. Also food. 1 Timothy 4:5. 1 Timothy 4:5 says food. It is sanctified by the word of God and by prayer. We are sanctified by the work of redemption. Hallelujah. So the things we offer to the Lord, we treat them sanctified too. Are you there? Are you there? We are sanctified. Say, I'm sanctified. Sanctified today. We are sanctified in Christ. We are treated differently. Amen. So, when it says, follow peace with all men. Follow peace because you are sanctified. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Same thing, Jesus said, let your light shine before men. That when they see your good works, they will glorify. Is that okay? Is that clear? That's what he meant. By follow peace with all men. Look at this. So, sanctification is a past tense of God's work for us. It's a past tense of God's work. His work makes us sanctified. Go to Hebrews 2:11 quickly. Hebrews 2:11. Both he that sanctified and those who are sanctified, they are all of one. That word all of one there is H-E-E-S. They are common. They are common. Why did he call them common? You see it in a moment. Is not ashamed. Not ashamed. Not ashamed means that when you wrongly identify with someone, you say, oh, I didn't know. How did I find myself in this place? That's the Greek word. E-P-A-S-C-H-U-N-O-M-I. N-O-M-A-I, sorry. It means to wrongly identify. That means he has rightly identified with us. For this cause, he's not ashamed to call, that is to name, Kalio, to name them brethren. The word brethren is from Adelphos. Delphos is womb. That's why some version says they are all of one father. Delphos is womb. So because we have the same father, we are sanctified. Jesus is sanctified and so are we. Hallelujah. Because we are all of one, we are common. H-E-I-S. We are common. We are the same. We have the same father. So, What happens now, because we are sanctified, we can make things secret. We can make our offering secret. We can make the things that we do holy. That's why I said treat your family differently. Treat your spouse differently. Treat your worship differently. Treat your work differently. How you serve the Lord, treat it differently. Don't call what God has called sanctified. Don't call it uncommon. Don't call it common. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'll rush. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So, we are not just sanctified, we also can sanctify. We are. That means we can walk in that sanctification. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Still out there? Are you still out there? Look at this. Verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. You don't become sanctified because you abstain from fornication. No, you abstain from fornication because you're already sanctified. That is the will of your sanctification. And watch this. To abstain is the word apeko. E-A-P-E-C-H-O. It means to say it's enough. It means to keep it afar. To stay away from. To say it's enough. It deals with appetite, actually. Not to run. Appetite. To have an appetite, a sanctified appetite. Apeko. A sanctified appetite. Abstain from it. In your appetite. He says, because it's the will of God. Verse 4, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. How? In sanctification, referring to honor. You must know how to possess yourself in sanctification. Treating it differently. Not in the lust of consequence. Even as the Gentiles which know not God. That no man goes beyond and before his brother in any matter. Because that the Lord is the avenger of such, as he has also forewarned you and testified. Let's take verse 7 together. And God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto what? Say, I am called unto holiness. So we are already called unto holiness. We are called unto holiness. Or better still, we are called holy. Let's take verse 8 together. He therefore that despises not man, but God, who has given unto us what? His Holy Spirit. So how we sanctified? We're sanctified because he has given us what? His Spirit. So that word agiasmos is the same word in Hebrews 12:14. You are sanctified, walk in it. Follow peace with all men and holiness. Same word. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, I'll close. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Let's read that together. Let's go. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, are you there? Let's go. We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation. How? Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Hallelujah. So we are sanctified by the Spirit because we have believed the gospel. So if you have believed the gospel, you are made holy. So what do? We walk in it. We walk in it. That's what we're doing. Follow peace with all men. When you follow peace with all men, you're walking in your holiness. When you follow peace with all men, you're walking in the sanctification you're already sanctified with. And men will see in you the Lord. So sanctification makes men see the Lord in us. It's an identity we have in Christ. We walk in it. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Say, I'm holy. I am holy. Remember, he didn't say, abstain from fornication. The word is porneia. Abstain so that you will be holy. He says, you're already holy. This is the will of your sanctification. This is how your sanctification works. Apoche in your desires. Step away from it. Because you're already holy. In other words, as we have received Christ, we have sanctified desires. Hallelujah. See, I have sanctified desires. I have holy desires.
Glory to His name. So holiness is our nature. Holiness is our position. And holiness is our disposition towards things. Glory to God. I said glory to God. So you don't have a holiness problem. Amen. The Bible says you were saints. The word saints means somebody who has been made holy. Not somebody who has died. They now name a church after him. Say, I'm made holy in Christ. Right now I'm made holy in Christ. So you don't become holy because you are sinless. You don't become holy because you abstain from sin. No. You are made holy so that you abstain from sin. Is that okay? Is that okay? So holiness is not works. Amen. Holiness just produces works. Is that okay? Hallelujah. You bless this afternoon. Start to speak. Give God praise.